Saturday morning, it is something for the weekend. Trina Murray here, and I'm thrilled to have Dr. Mick Crotty on the line from mybestweight.ie. Quite an apt day to have you on as well, because I believe today marks Obesity Day.
Yeah, it's World Obesity Day today to try and increase the awareness around the chronic disease of obesity, how it affects people, and the different treatment options that are available to people based on our increased understanding of the science and the biology around weight and really why this is not an issue with willpower, motivation, and why it's not people's fault if they're struggling with weight.
Okay, so tell us your background then. You trained as a GP.
Yes, I did my hospital work. I did a few years of training to be a surgeon, and then I got a bit of sense and decided to go back and be a GP, and I worked for a number of years as a GP. And then as a bit of an adventure, I decided to move to Canada, and that's where I really kind of came across this area of medicine, obesity medicine. It wasn't something that I had a lot of education on in medical school or in my GP training, and I think that's one of the issues, is it's a very under-resourced and an area that people are not aware of. So in my practice in Canada, I started coming across all this fantastic way of treating people and approaching weight in a different way, taking a more medical approach to weight management and seeing the benefits that it could have for people. Really was kind of educating myself on the underlying reasons why people struggle with weight, you know, the genetic contribution, that up to about 70% of our risk of whether we'll have an issue with weight is regulated by our genes. How about 80% of those genes code for what's happening in subconscious parts of our brain that we can't control, and they're the areas of the brain that regulates our levels of hunger, our levels of fullness, our craving, wanting, desire, and need for food, our kind of energy balance, and our weight regulation. So we know that in those people who have more of a significant issue with weight, hunger levels are higher because hormonal levels of hunger hormones are higher, fullness hormones are lower. We know that the activity and the reward pathways of the brain are hyperactive. So essentially, biologically, people are feeling hungrier, less satisfied by food, and more craving for food. And really, it's that underlying biology that puts them at risk of taking more than their body requires over the course of their life. And that's why they struggle with weight. It's not because they don't understand food. It's not because of any lack of knowledge about nutrition. It's certainly not to do with intelligence or motivation or willpower. This is a biological issue. And really, then, it's a case of when we do struggle with weight, the biggest challenge for many people is within that same part of our subconscious brain, we have a thermostat, a set point, a kind of memory for weight, and its task is to keep us at that weight. So it is not natural or intended for any healthy animal to lose weight. We're not supposed to, because we evolved to survive when food was scarce. So our biology, our physiology is adapted to try and protect our weight and keep our weight up. And that's why we see kind of, you know, many people can lose weight and do lose weight, but over time that weight comes back and they regain weight and often end up at a higher point. And we see this kind of yo-yo dieting, kind of cycling of weight and yet ending up at a higher point. And so much of this is biological. It's not within our conscious control. It's not something that we can control with hard work or dedication or diligence.
So are you saying that, you know, when you lose weight, you would generally, if you do gain the weight, you'll end up back at the weight that you started at, because your body is remembering, oh, say for example, somebody was 15 stone and they lost, I don't know, 3 stone. If the weight creeps back on, they'll end back at that 15 stone because the body remembers that weight.
Yeah, so we have this idea of this set point for weight, and it is an evolutionary thing that evolved to protect us in a world where food is scarce. No caveman ever went on a diet. You don't see cave drawings of slimming clubs or kind of weigh-ins. You know, a caveman would lose weight if he didn't have enough food. You know, same in any animal in the any healthy animal. Yeah. So we know that kind of within that subconscious part of our brain, that its job is to try and maintain our weight, and that's why we see that kind of over 80% of people who do lose weight with diet and exercise approaches will regain all of that weight within time. And the challenge for many people who are more severely affected is that we don't just regain the weight, but oftentimes our weight ends up at a higher point.
Yeah.
Because when our weight gets back up to, let's say, your 15 stone example, to our set point, those mechanisms, though, the changes in hunger hormones, the changes in fullness hormones, the changes in our metabolism, the changes in the reward pathways in the brain, they don't go back to baseline. They don't reset. So now we're back at our original weight, but we are hungrier, we are less satisfied by food, with a slower metabolism. So over time, many people will kind of gain further weight, and that becomes our new weight, and the thermostat in our brain then is reset at the higher point. So So again, essentially, our brain and our body are doing exactly as they're supposed to do. But when you put us in an environment where there isn't a lack of food, where there is no end of ultra-processed, calorie-dense food, where we are stressed, when we're lacking in sleep, when we're in pain, where we might be on certain medications, or somebody might be traversing puberty or pregnancy or menopause or any of the other modulators of weight in our environment, then people will struggle. And in the modern environment, with screen time and, you know, sedentary jobs and all these things, that further contributes to the challenge. So when I think about weight, I think about a genetically conferred issue that is regulated in the subconscious parts of our brain and heavily influenced by the environment around us and the food environment and advertising and these things. I think of it the same way as I think of blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, depression, any other medical issue. This is not a lack of personal responsibility. This is not a failure on our part. It is a biological issue. And it's a medical issue. It's a chronic disease when it's impacting our health. So if somebody is living with excess weight and that's having a negative impact on their psychological, on their physical function, or on their metabolic health, then this is a medical issue and something we can treat. The challenge is that dieting is not a treatment. So we need to kind of help support people with evidence-based treatments, which is kind of what we're trying to do in our clinic.
Isn't that interesting then, you know, we said about the 15 stones. So if you do get back to that 15 stone and then you gain more, you end up 16 stone, 17 stone, 18 stone maybe, that becomes the new weight. So your body's always trying to get back to that. Such an interesting point. Now, I heard something in The Hairdressers there recently, and you might speak to us about this, Dr. Crotty, Ozempic. This is what I'm hearing. This is the drug you take. The weight will fall off you. And that was an overheard conversation that I heard in The Hairdressers.
Yeah, so Ozempic is a medication that is licensed and produced and indicated to treat diabetes. So it's produced to treat diabetes, it's licensed to treat diabetes, it's not licensed for weight management, but there are many people who are using it off license, so using it for weight management. And there's many studies looking at it, showing it to be safe and effective as a weight management medication, but that's not what it's licensed for. So if somebody's using it, they're using it off license. This is in a class of medications called GLP-1 medications. And essentially, they were medications developed about 20 years ago to treat diabetes. And they do great things to help regulate our blood sugar and our insulin levels. But they also, GLP-1 at its essence, is a fullness hormone. This is a medication that mimics a fullness hormone that we all have in our body. But those of us who are living with excess weight, we often don't have enough of this hormone. So if I take this medication that mimics a fullness hormone, and there are a number of different medications, liraglutide or Saxenda, as the brand name is, another version, and that one is licensed for weight management. So when we take one of these medications, it communicates that subconscious caveman part of my brain that regulates appetite. And essentially, it makes me feel full. I feel full sooner. I feel full quicker. I feel fuller for longer. And as a result, I'm not eating the same amount of food. I'm not snacking and picking. It does have an effect on the reward pathways to reduce my craving for food as well. So really, it's turning down the volume on that caveman in my brain who's roaring and shouting, the guy who's causing me to have problems with my weight in the first place. So it's treating the underlying biology. As a result of that, it's essentially like trying to change or flick this switch in our brain away from, it's not that I can't have it, it's not that I'm restricting or depriving, it's flicking that switch to I don't want it. So it's not that I can't have it, I don't want it. And really, that's how somebody who doesn't have an issue with their weight, that's the way their brain is operating most of the time. It's not that they have more willpower, motivation. They have different biology, different neurology, different hormone levels. So they don't get the same. They get kind of different levels of hunger and fullness and craving. So it's trying to make our brain kind of behave like that, so that over time we are less kind of driven towards food. And as a result of that, weight changes. Now, weight can change to a variable degree. Not everybody responds to these medications. They're not like a magic wand or magic beans. Probably 50% of people have a very good response, 50% of people don't. But for people who respond to them, they can be a significant benefit. And really the benefits I see in people that we treat would be, for the first time in their lives, they feel differently biologically. They realize this isn't something they're doing wrong. It's not their fault. This is, you know, they say kind of, God, is this how other people feel all of the time? Mm-hmm. They might feel full for the first time in their life. They feel more satisfied. They realize that, you know, I haven't given them more willpower, motivation. We've changed their neurochemistry. And as a result, their appetite system has changed. So really with this kind of treatment, and you know, that by turning down the volume on their appetite system, again, the smart guy who kind of is in control of things, who is making decisions, he hopefully is better able to engage on nutritional choices. He's able to engage on kind of planning and strategizing. He's not being kind of frustrated by this caveman all the time. So again, it is important that people still, you know, prioritize health, that they kind of focus on sleep and stress. They focus on nutrition and the foods they're taking, when they're taking, the quality. They focus on the kind of behavioral elements of things, you know, they're physically active, because all of those other things, they're going to really improve our health. But again, it's made hopefully easier for people who struggle by also treating the biology. And in the same way as that, as other people with bariatric surgery may see that same kind of change in their appetite system, and bariatric surgery is probably the most effective treatment. How that works is not by giving somebody a smaller stomach, but it's changing the levels of hormones communicating with the brain. It's changing the absorption of food. It's changing kind of how our body uses food. So bariatric surgery is another fantastic treatment. So we have surgical treatments, we have medication options for some people, and then there's the life treatments, and that's the stress and the sleep and the nutrition and physical activity and all those other things that are going to improve our health. Because really, for me, this is not about numbers on a scale. It's not about body mass index. This is about health. If somebody's health is being affected by weight, we want to improve health. So it's not about losing X amount of weight or hitting a target. It's about kind of improving that person's health, their quality of life, their function, their metabolic health. You know, that's what this is all about. Yeah. It's about health.
With the likes of the Ozempic, then, I would imagine, then what happens then when you come off it?
Yeah, so these are long-term treatments for a chronic disease. It's a bit like taking a blood pressure tablet or taking a cholesterol tablet or taking an inhaler for asthma. When we take them, the biology in our brain and in our body is regulated and controlled. If we stop the treatment, then the symptoms will come back. And in the studies, people do regain weight when the medication is stopped. And again, I think based on our understanding of how weight is regulated and kind of how this is much more complex, we appreciate that this needs to be taken long term. So it's not like taking an antibiotic where we're curing the problem. People go on treatment and they should stay on treatment long term. Eventually our weight will plateau and we'll be at a lower level if we respond to the medication, and we continue the medication to keep us at that level. And again, we focus on those other areas of health as well. But if we do stop the medication, then the biological treatment is not there anymore. And we would expect in the studies that weight comes back.
I think that so many people are jumping on this, oh, let's go get Ozempic, and they're not actually doing the research, and they think they can just take it until they get the 2 stone or the 3 stone or whatever it is off, and then life is great. But this is something that you have to stay on, and there's big expense isn't there, with Ozempic? And you're also kind of, you know, if you're doing it for weight loss reason, you're taking supply away from people who need it for diabetes.
Now, I'll take you up on that one, because I was with you until you said that very last one. So as far as cost is definitely an issue for people, these medications are not reimbursed by a drug payment scheme or medical card. So again, that's because of the overriding kind of stigma and bias and blame and shame that exists in healthcare and society around weight, where this is seen as our own responsibility. These medications are not reimbursed, so people have to pay for them. In my mind, obesity is a chronic disease that is affecting the health and well-being of people long-term, and it is having a significant impact on their life. Diabetes is a chronic disease that has a significant impact on people's health and on their life as well. These are both chronic medical conditions.
I'm talking about the people who don't have a serious issue with weight and are just seeing it as a quick fix diet to get the beach body for June.
So, again, that's a separate issue. But if somebody has a medical issue, then for me, obesity and diabetes are equally valid, and we should be able to treat both. And it's not like stealing from one person to treat the other. So again, this narrative of kind of stealing medication for people with diabetes to treat obesity, I think is false, and it's actually linked to the bias and stigma in society. To your other point of this is not a quick fix. This is not a skinny jab. This is not kind of, you know, what it's been painted in the media as kind of Hollywood's worst kept secret, you know, quick weight loss. This is chronic disease management. Are there people who are using this inappropriately short term? Absolutely. Will they regain weight after they stop the medication? Absolutely. There is a difference between treating somebody with a chronic disease of obesity with a chronic medical issue and an impairment of health versus somebody who wants to be skinny or that cultural desire for thinness. So somebody who has a cultural desire for thinness will take a medication, will lose weight, they'll stop it, and the weight will come back. Somebody who has a chronic medical condition needs needs lifelong treatment and support. And the best available treatment today may be different than in a year and 2 years and 5 years, because these medications are developing and advancing. But absolutely, I have come across cases of inappropriate use of these medications. I've come across cases of people getting these medications from different sources without adequate understanding of how they work, why they work, without adequate understanding of the potential side effects and risks and benefits and costs. And that's where, for me, you know, my biggest role is sitting with people and sharing understanding. It's listening to their story. It's kind of, you know, talking through their options with them so that they can make an informed decision. If you give smart people information, they make good choices. Whereas if somebody is getting this medication, let's say by other routes from somebody who isn't qualified, or let's say somebody who doesn't have kind of the same awareness, or even people getting this stuff off the internet or different places, that's highly dangerous. This is a medical treatment and needs kind of observation. It needs kind of guidance and information so that people can kind of, you know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so I totally agree with your point of this isn't, you know, a quick fix for the summer body. It's not the next new diet fad.
Yes.
This is a treatment for a chronic disease that should be prescribed appropriately for people whose health is being affected, and it should be used long term.
Talk to me then about mybestweight.ie and the success stories and what happens when somebody goes to see you.
Yeah, so this is a clinic that I established. We're based in Blackrock in Dublin. We see people in person and virtually. I kind of lead the medical arm of the clinic. We also have a nutritional behavioral arm. We have a physical activity side too. So it's kind of multidisciplinary kind of approach to managing weight. And when somebody comes to see us, generally we get them to fill out a kind of a detailed questionnaire. We go through their health history. We go through their specific story of what are the challenges that they've had, what might be the factors that have contributed to weight. And really, you know, it's sharing the understanding of why their journey has been the way it is, because the biology helps us explain totally why somebody has had the pattern of weight change they've had. And again, it's kind of sharing and understanding this isn't their fault, this is a medical issue. And it's the people who have the impairment of health, that's who, you know, I'm not walking down the street tapping people on the shoulder saying, come over here, you, I have a medication for you. Mm. These are people who have a medical issue or concern around their weight. And then we talk through different options. We kind of specialize in medication approach, in the behavioral, nutritional, physical activity, kind of life treatments as well. And then we have links with surgical clinics if somebody wants to explore that option too. But really, it's mostly kind of sharing information. It's treating people on our website, mybestweight.ie. We've lots of kind of educational resources. Again, whether somebody comes to see us or not, just for the people to increase the awareness of why this is a significant issue for them, why it isn't their fault, to gain that understanding. And then, you know, obviously people who we treat, I talk about response to treatment, because everybody's response is different. Response for me might be improving my function, improving my mobility, yeah, reduction in acid reflux, my back pain getting better. It might be improvement in my relationship with food, that I don't have this constant battle going on in my head. Response might be changes in my weight. It might be changes in my exercise capacity. So there's lots of different responses we can see. We don't talk about success, because the opposite of success is failure. And no person has ever failed a treatment. If somebody is not responding, the treatment is failing them. It's not the right treatment. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the right treatment for everybody yet, but we can't predict how somebody's going to respond. But if somebody's not responding to the treatment, it's because their unique biology is not being treated or addressed. It's not anything they're doing wrong. It's not anything that I'm doing wrong. It's just that the treatments we have are the treatments we have, and people kind of may respond to them. But in the same way as one blood pressure tablet might help one person, another blood pressure tablet might help another person. So this is chronic disease management, evidence-based, non-judgmental care, which is the big thing, because the stigma and bias and blame and shame that exists for people, the assumptions that are made about people based on their weight, yeah, are absolutely disgraceful. You know, the people I meet, they are struggling with weight, but it's not because they don't have an awareness of food. It's not because they're sitting at home eating rubbish all day and not exercising. They are eating healthy, they're being physically active, and yet they still have this issue, because healthy eating and physical activity can help in preventing weight issues, but it's not a treatment. Mm-hmm. Treatment is different.
You do hear it a lot, don't you? People saying, oh, I went to the GP, and the GP, all they have to say to me is, you know, eat less, move more. And they're like, really. That's not going to help me at all. So it's great to speak to somebody who's so passionate about this. And, you know, your clinic is doing great work there.
Yeah, I think, the problem for me is once you get me going, it's hard to kind of shut me up. And I think when you start talking about, I suppose I'm lucky in that I spend all day talking to people about this. And unfortunately, I hear about the negative experiences people have had. And you're absolutely right that in all areas of healthcare and society, people are stigmatized, blamed, and shamed. I think a lot of it is because of lack of knowledge. Like I said, I wasn't educated, and I've probably been one of the worst kind of people in the past because of my lack of knowledge and understanding of weight. Telling somebody to eat less and move more is like telling somebody with depression to cheer up. You know, it isn't effective long term. You know, it's not helpful to them. But I think it's because of the lack of understanding in society and the lack of understanding in healthcare as to how complex this is and about treatment options that are available. So it's fantastic to have the opportunity kind of on World Obesity Day to talk about these things, because again, people I think are increasingly advocating for themselves, they're seeking treatment, they're bringing up these conversations, and that's putting healthcare professionals in a position where we have to upskill, we have to educate ourselves, we have to be able to offer PB treatment. People deserve treatment. This is a major medical issue. You know, we also should be working on policy in society and advertising to kids and, you know, the nutrition and as far as kind of regulating kind of foods and food labeling and, you know, those public health policies. We should also be focusing on healthy eating and physical activity, all of those things. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't stop us from offering treatment to somebody who is living with this chronic medical issue.
And living with it today. Well, thank you so much for your time. Dr. Mick Crotty there, and their website is mybestweight.ie, and they're based there in Blackrock in Dublin. But as you say, you also will take patients who are all over the country because you do Zooms and all kinds of things like that. So great to have access. Thanks so much for your time today.
Not at all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Kids Radio.